Hello friends, and welcome to another video blog. Earlier on in some of my video blogs, I've actually mentioned what spiritualism is all about. It's not just about giving the messages. What it is about learning as well. So today I'd like to talk about Emma Britton. Now, Emma Britton was a very, very well-known medium back in the days. And she was actually born in 1823. And passed away in 1899. Now, with Emma, as a propagandist, she was a missionary, she was an editor, she was a writer, lecturer, and medium. Emma Britton made the greatest contribution to the spiritualist movement in the 19th century. It was through a mediumship that Robert Owen communicated the seven principles of spiritualism that would be later adopted as a statement of beliefs by the Spiritualist National Union. As an accomplished author, she has left a library of books as a legacy to future students of spiritualism. And as a pioneer of the spiritualists, she is a shining example to all of us, a dedication and a hard work that she actually done. Now, she was born Emma Floyd. She was born in the East End of London in 1823. She was a daughter of a sea captain. She had a very, very lonely childhood. In her autobiography, she recalled that she never felt young, joyous, or happy. She preferred her own company to that of other children. And she favoured wandering through the countryside alone or among monastic ruins or churchyards, where she sometimes saw spirit forms. Many people thought her as a way child and were alarmed at her ability to foretell future events or describe their deceased relatives. She was also a very, very gifted musician and showed promise of developing into a really, really good person with her music. But Emma's psychic abilities attracted the attention of an occult society, as she was persuaded to join them as a clairvoyant and magnetic subject. Little is recorded or known of this period of her life, but it is thought through it was this association that she met a member of the influential Harding family and adopted the name. Now, in 1843, at the tender age of 11, Emma's father passed a spirit, leaving the family in a bad way financially. She was then obliged to earn her own living as a pupil and teacher of music. Her piano playing showed such exceptional talent for her age. That means she was found to send her to Paris to continue her studies. A member of the famous Erard family of piano makers alleges her to practice the piano in his warehouse so that his customers could hear. To everyone's surprise, Emma was able to play any piece they requested, even if they had not played the request aloud. Fearing that her daughter was being used by satanic forces and Emma's musical career was abruptly terminated, she took up acting and was offered a contract with a theatrical company in Paris. Unfortunately, this venture was a failure, but it led her to be invited by an American theatre manager to join his company in New York. But she agreed only on the condition that her mother, to whom she was devoted to, could accompany her to New York. Despite favourable notices she received in the press, Emma was given smaller and smaller parts and eventually was cut out of the bills altogether. With this, she fell out with her new manager. Although this was a difficult period for Emma, some good results were when she was in contact with a couple who were spiritualists who persuaded her to visit a medium. Her first visit hardly proved an auspicious beginning to what was be a future career. Emma had been reluctant to go, and when she heard the spirit communication by a process of table rappings, spelling out a message which seemed to speak slightingly of the Christian religion in which she raised, she just ran out of the room. She fled. She met another medium, and her attitude changed when she had a very impressive sitting through the mediumship of Miss Ada House, who later became Mrs. Cohn. She became converted to spiritualism, developing psychic powers in her own person and sitting publicly for the Society of Diffusion of Spiritual Knowledge of New York. She was able to furnish one of the best attested cases of spirit return from the early history of spiritualism. Now, the mail steamer Pacific sank in the high seas. A member of the crew possessed her body in trance and disclosed the fact of the tragedy. Now, she was threatened with prosecution by the owners of the boat when the story was made public, but it was found to be true. Her medium gifts included clairvoyance, automatic writing, psychometry, occasional healing, prophecy, inspirational, and trance speaking. Sometimes at the table at which she sat would rise into the air when she played the piano. If beating time to the music, she gave numerous sittings and was even consulted by the police to help them solve baffling cases. Emma's contract with the theatre company was by this time about to expire. So she began once more teaching music and was offered rooms for that purpose in the premises of the Society for the Diffusion of Christian Spiritualism in return for the use of the premises, who edited the Society's journal, The Christian Spiritualist, thus gaining experience in the publishing business. She also gave many sittings and acquired a reputation of being a brilliant medium. Kate Fox, one of the famous Fox sisters, gave seances in the same building, and Emma became acquainted with her. After a time, she felt the need for a change from this way of life and her spiritualist friends. She tried to persuade her to become a rostrum lecturer. The idea of her becoming a female preacher seemed shocked, really unladylike. Despite her apprehension, she was persuaded to speak at a public meeting. As soon as she stepped on the stage, she fell into a state of trance. The lecture, of which she does not remember a word, was a great success, and thereafter, she always delivered her speeches in trance. Now, her fame as a speaker spread rapidly as she was invited to lecture in many places. Her first invitation was to a small country town called Rondout. On her arrival, she was horrified to learn of the prosecution of other visiting mediums who had suffered at the hands of the local inhabitants. They had pelted them with stones and rotten eggs and driven them out of town. On the way to the meeting, she was hardly reassured when she saw a host arm himself with pistols. And when she began to speak, her worst fears were realised. She was abused and shouted by an unruly mob who followed her back to the house where she was staying. Undaunted, she asked the host to arrange for the use of the courtroom for another lecture the following evening. This time, the audience listened with respect. Emma had the satisfaction in later years of seeing Rondout become a stronghold of specialism. But this was the beginning of a long series of travels. During the next 35 years, she toured the whole of America, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, lecturing and conducting services, introducing spiritualism to many places where it had been unknown before. But travel was often difficult and the weather conditions harsh. She often encountered hostility and even physical violence. On one occasion, a stone was thrown through the window of the hall where she was speaking. On another, a lecture had to be cancelled because a mob had threatened to lynch anyone attending. The South of America was particularly hostile to spiritualism because spirit opposed slavery. As she took part in the campaign to elect Abraham Lincoln, who was himself interested in spiritualism. Eventually, Emma's mother was able to persuade her to give up on this artist's life and return to England. When she arrived back in London, she found herself once more called to take up a round of lecturing engagements all over England. During this time, she found the resources to write a book called Modern American Spiritualism, setting out the history of the movement from its beginning in the 1840s. When she returned to America, where a book was to be published, she met her husband, Dr. William Britton. Through the years of the marriage, he supported her in her work and accompanied her on further travels. By the 1880s, spiritualism was becoming more organized. And in 1887, she set out in the Two Worlds magazine a proposal for a new national organization to bring a greater sense of unity between spiritualists throughout the country. Now, a conference was convened in Manchester which led to the formation of the Spiritualist National Federation, which later became the Spiritualist National Union, under which NABY functions today with educational programs for mediums at home and abroad. Among its many activities, the union did not at first draw up any sort of creed or declaration of its beliefs, since many of its members felt this would restrict the individual's freedom of thought. Without such a declaration, it was impossible for it to become a legally recognized body to acquire land and premises. But accordingly, the seven principles were drawn up based on words received through the mediumship of Emma Britton. Though these principles formed the base of spiritual teaching, liberty of interpretation was then now allowed to all. With the natural concern for children, the spiritualist movement, Emma worked with Alfred Kitson and Mr. H.A. Kersey to issue a Lyceum manual. The first edition was published in 1887, and it consisted of 75 silver chains, 11 musical readings, and 13 Lyceum songs. Although Alfred Kitson is now known as the father of the Lyceum movements in Britain, Emma Britton contributed much in the Lyceum movement as well. She was the author of Modern American Spiritualism, 1870, 19th century Miracles. She was the editor of the American periodical, The Western Star, so many. And she also wrote a number of musical compositions and songs. Emma's last public engagement was to unveil the stained glass window of the Salford Spiritualist Church. Although weakened by her old age and many years of toil, she rose to the occasion with her customary vigour. The enthusiasm of the congregation proved the love and respect in which she held. She had witnessed the birth of the modern spiritualist movement and had fought to win acceptance for its truth. In the face of bitter hostility and many hardships, she helped to consolidate it into an organised movement, united by simple but profound principles to which all its followers could subscribe. Unlike many of the early pioneers of the movement who retained their association with other churches, Emma saw spiritualism as a new religion which would sweep away the dogmas and superstition of the old line religions. Her understanding and that of the guys who spoke through her was to be wide, to be encompassed with any one creed. The subjects of her lectures ranged widely over many different philosophies, and she was in fact involving in the Theosophical Society, although her loyalty to spiritualism was unswerving. Emma Britton has been accused of attacking Christianity, but her intention was never to criticize destructively, rather to seek a fine, firm foundation of truth upon which spiritualism could rest and not be shaken. Emma Britton passed to the spirit world in October 1899. Let her own words received after passing speak for her now. My day is done. I have striven for the cause. Humanity has been my congregation, and the world has truly been my parish. I would urge you onward and upwards towards the realization of the brightest hopes of the oldest pioneers of modern spiritualism. And this lady was a true pioneer of modern spiritualism. So I do hope you enjoyed that little blog about Emma Britton. And thank you for listening.